are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the 10th voice. The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is the 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
Hello, KKFI listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in to this edition of Trans Talk. Trans Talk, again, airs on the fourth Saturday of every week, and or fourth Saturday of every month, as part of the 10th Voice radio series. So thank you very much for tuning in. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Today we've got two families of two young transgender girls. The girls are 7 and 8 years old, and this is going to be the first time that they have been live. We're going to be interviewing them together. We're going to see how that goes. Their parents are crowded in the studio, small studio with us, so that they can help fill in any gaps and answer some questions that we've got for them, too. So it should be a really interesting show. Thank you very much for tuning in with us. We'll introduce those folks here in just a minute. Also in the studio with me, we've got Luke Harness and Una Nowling, the other co-hosts for Trans Talk. So thank you very much both for joining us. And, of course, behind the board, we've got Linda Wilson, our producer. So, Linda, you don't have a microphone right now. I'm just going to wave at you across the soundboard here. First, we're going to start out with the LGBT news this week, and we'll be back and with the interviews here in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
And in the news today, we have first coming from the Oscars, actor Eddie Redmayne. He recently was Oscar awarded. He will be playing the role of transgender woman Lily Elba, who is one of the first transgender women to undergo gender reassignment surgery in the 1930s. The casting for this upcoming movie, The Danish Girl, has been receiving critiquing and praise. It'll be another major form of media following Jared Leto's portrayal of a transgender woman in Dallas Buyers Club and Jeffrey Tambor's leading role as an older transgender woman in the Amazon show Transparent. The community continues to debate whether or not any press is good press, but the ultimate question still remains. When will the transgender community be allowed to represent itself in major leading roles such as these? And in South Africa, the owners of the South African Gay Cure Camp have been found guilty of murder, child abuse, and assault with intent to do grievous bodily harm. The ruling from the regional court in Johannesburg, involved with the case of Raymond Byes, 15, who tragically died in April 2011 after receiving horrific treatment at the Echo Wild Game Rangers Camp. 10 weeks after being forced into the camp to make him a man, Byes was hospitalized with severe malnourishment, dehydration, brain damage, an arm broken in two places, and with burns and wounds all over his body. He died after 2 weeks on life support. In Kentucky, Kentucky State Senate voted Friday to force transgender students to use separate bathrooms in public schools, a move that recalled the dark days of segregation for some, but for others represented a stand for privacy rights. The Senate voted 27-9 in favor of a bill that reversed a decision by Louisville's Atherton High School to allow a student who was born male but identifies as a female to use the girls' restroom. That school's decision was vetted and approved twice by the school's council of parents and administrators, a process the legislature set up in 1990 for schools to make their own policy decisions. The bill now goes to the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives, where it has tepid support from leadership as the clock winds down on the 2015 legislative session. And in West Virginia, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael says there's no way his chamber will consider a proposal to nullify local ordinances that protect LGBT people from housing and employment discrimination. If enacted, the West Virginia Interstate Commerce Improvement Act would prohibit any local non-discrimination ordinances stricter than state law. West Virginia currently does not include housing and employment protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. This bill is similar to a law just passed in Arkansas and another bill being considered in Texas. Some more news about Fred Phelps. The Daily Caller website has obtained the FBI's files on Westboro Baptist Church founder Pastor Fred Phelps via a Freedom of Information request, the earliest of which dates from 1967, when Phelps was working as a civil rights lawyer. One of the earliest entries notes that Phelps did not appear to be rational and might have needed psychiatric care. A memo from October of 1993 documents an FBI agent concluding that Phelps was an attention-seeking time waster who deliberately sought to provoke threats against himself. As good timing as ever to get these documents now.
Absolutely. That is so spot on.
And now on Facebook. Remember last year when Facebook added a list of 58 gender identity options to select from on your personal info section? Well, now they've added another one. Fill in the blank. This option will allow gender nonconforming folks to enter what best describes themselves for themselves. Allison C.K. Fogarty, a gender identity researcher at Stanford University, said, "People are still fighting to make room for gender identity within the socially constructed binary of male and female. Users of the custom gender settings may also select pronouns to correspond with their gender, and there are also privacy settings for whom their gender is shared with on Facebook, so extra privacy and safety there." And back in Michigan, a transgender teen in the Detroit area, is receiving crucial support from the U.S. Justice Department in a lawsuit against local school districts that are accused of discriminating against his transgender status. The lawsuit claims the school districts failed to protect the transgender teen from bullying, being outed without his consent, and forcing him to use the women's restroom and only calling him by his birth name and female assigned pronouns. The U.S. Justice Department dissuaded a judge from dismissing the case early on, which is a good sign for anti-discrimination policies to be set in school districts across America. And lastly, in the military, on Sunday, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter said transgender individuals who want to serve openly in the military should not be prevented based upon their gender identity. Ashley Broadway Mack, the president of the American Military Partner Association, AMPA, which is a nonprofit support network for LGBT families, said, "Thousands of transgender service members are currently doing the job and doing it well, but are forced to do so in silence. There has been a lot of support provided to this that would be a monumental policy, and a proposal has been made that transgender soldiers could only be discharged from the U.S. Army by a top senior civilian official. This wouldn't undo the current ruling that transgender soldiers can be discharged for their gender identity, but it would make it a lot harder to continue to remove those troops from service."
Thank you for that news roundup, Luke. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get started with our main event today, which is our interview of Jennifer and Avery. Jennifer, can you say hi for me real quick? Go ahead, that mic you're holding, just go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
Very good. Avery, can you say hi?
Hi.
All right, so these are the two girls that we've got in the studio with us today, 7 years old and 8 years old. And rounding up the room here behind us, Scott Feeker is here as well. Scott Feeker is a therapist in the area that's knowledgeable with trans issues. Scott is actually a trans man himself. So Scott understands not only what trans people go through, but he also understands the academics and the professional end of this. So, Scott, thank you very much for joining us today. And then in the room, in addition, for Jennifer, her parents that we've got in the room here is the mom, Olivia, father, John. And then the biological father is with us as well, Ralph. Thank you very much for joining us over there in the corner. And then in addition, in the room with us right now for Avery, we've got the mom, Debbie, the dad, Tom, and the brother, Anson, is here. But Anson has told us quite emphatically that he does not want to be on the radio. So welcome to everybody in the room. We're going to be shuffling people back and forth to the microphone, so it might get a little bit noisier than a typical show here is on KKFI, but I'm sure it's going to be worth it, so please stay tuned. Avery, let me get started with you, okay? I'm going to give you the first question. So how early did you know that you were a girl?
When I was about four.
Now, how did you know that? I mean, what was telling you that you were a girl?
Well, I never knew it, but it just was in my head, but I wasn't really thinking about it.
Yeah. It just kind of seemed like an instinct, is that right? Yeah.
Same thing with me.
Is that the same thing with you, Jennifer?
Yes, except I said, "Mommy, Mommy, I'm a girl." Exactly when I started, in the first second I could talk, I was like, "Mommy, Mommy, I'm a girl. I'm a girl, I'm not a boy."
So no doubt about it, right, Jennifer? No doubt about it. Never a doubt in your mind. Very good. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with me. What would you say, and I'm going to ask this question for both of you, if an adult didn't know what transgender meant, what would you tell them? And Jennifer, why don't you go first?
Transgender is where you switch from a male to a female or a female to a male. And it's just like an instinct, like, it's like you're a boy trapped in a girl's body, or either a boy trapped in a girl's body.
Very
good. You're trapped in it, but you change it. Oh, yeah, but...
Well, Avery, what do you think? What would you say? How would you clarify that?
No.
It's kind of a difficult question to answer, isn't it?
No.
Let me ask you another one, Avery. A question for you. Do you like to play any games or sports? What do you like to do with your free time?
Well, I do like playing a lot of games, almost every game, and sports. There is some sports I do like to play.
What sports do you like to play?
Soccer and, like, just... any sort of running sport, because I am really fast and I really love running.
You know, we had a hard time getting you away from that phone. You were playing a game on a phone before we came in the studio. What were you doing on the phone?
Playing games.
She was playing Minecraft.
Minecraft.
And another game.
She was making a teleporter.
So, Jennifer, what games do you like to play?
Me?
Yeah.
Sometimes use my imagination. Sometimes
me too, I use my imagination.
Yeah. Quite. Sometimes play on a video game. Sometimes I run around and climb trees.
You're a big climber, right?
Oh yeah. Ever since I could walk, I started climbing up to the top of the roof. It's
so we might have your parents clarify that a little bit later. Otherwise, the listeners are going to think that you've been allowed to climb onto the roof of your house.
And yeah, so, you might die.
Pretty safe call.
That wouldn't be very good, would it?
Okay, I'm pretty sure.
Hey Avery, I've got one more question for you, and then we're going to take a real quick break while we have a station announcement, and then we'll be right back. It only takes a few seconds, but before we go there, let me ask you a question. When you grow up, have you thought about what you want to be?
For like a job?
Yeah. What are you going to do when you grow up? Are you going to be a princess or?
I do have quite a few ideas.
What are some of them?
Well, I have like 3 or 4. Well, first I might want to be a scientist. An animal vet.
Oh, scientist and an animal vet. Animal vet would be very nice. Do you have pets?
Yeah.
Is that why you want to be an animal
chickens,
vet?
Dogs, cats, ooh, ferrets, bunnies.
Bunnies? I have bunnies.
Yeah, that's basically it.
What about you, Jennifer? Do you have any pets?
Yes. And we used to have fishes, but they died. Yeah. And also, I would want to be like a chef, maybe.
Oh, very good. You can cook me dinner because I'm a terrible cook.
Okay, I'll cook you some dinner.
I'm always eating microwave food, so you can cook for me.
Okay, I'll do that.
Jennifer, what do you want to be when you're growing? Huh?
You never eat spaghetti?
Oh, I love spaghetti. I just don't cook it. You can cook it for me.
I'll cook it.
All right, thank you, Avery.
I'm not much of a chef.
Jennifer, what do you want to be when you grow up?
A ninja.
A ninja?
Me too. I want to be a ninja. I love fighting. I actually would be, when we were getting here, I was actually playing a ninja game.
We've been kicking each other, punching each other. Oh my gosh, we've been.
We've been
having a blast.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break for a station announcement, sponsor announcement, and we'll be right back.
Funding for KKFI provided by the Weekly Forum at All Souls UU Church. Each Sunday at 10 a.m., the forum will feature a discussion on community issues. All Souls UU Church is at 4501 Walnut Street, one block east of Main in Kansas City. More information is at allsoulskc.org.
On Jaws of Justice Radio, we talk with Captain Brad Deichler about the KCMO Police Department's Crisis Intervention Team. And then, retired pastor Ron Brooks about his time at the Grand Avenue Temple helping the homeless. That's Jaws of Justice Radio, 9 a.m. Monday, right after Democracy Now!
And we're back in the studio. Olivia is the mother of Jennifer. I want Olivia to explain for the listeners before anybody calls the police about this comment about Jennifer climbing up to the roof. Where does that come from? Tell us what that means.
I'm pretty sure the cops won't come because they don't want to be safe.
I've always encouraged her to be very active. I teach yoga, and when she was very small, I would let her climb, small climbing objects for toddlers. And then we started going to a rock climbing gym for kids, and she was actually told that she was skilled enough she could train for the Olympics starting now. So someone started training with her. And at home, where we lived at the time, we had a really low-hanging part of our house that you could access from. It's kind of hard to explain, but there was a rising concrete area next door, and you could get onto this low part of the roof, and it was actually very safe.
So she actually did get up on the roof?
She did, yeah, and I was there with her, but she was at a point where she was training in her climbing, and we were probably 3 or 4 feet off the ground, but it was a big treat for her. She felt really special that we got to sit there.
Big climber. Very good. Very good.
So she likes to tell people she climbs onto the roof.
I have a question real quick for you, Scott, and then we're going to get back to the girls and ask them some more questions. But both of the girls clearly articulated that they have felt that they were transgender, that they were girls since basically early memories, right? 4 years old, Jennifer even said, from the first time she could talk. So tell us a little bit about that. For the listeners out there that are listening in and really want to understand more and don't know where this gender identity thing comes from, when do we really start experiencing that, and what does gender identity mean?
Okay. Gender identity is how we see ourselves. It's an internal thing. It comes innately. It's just our sense of who we are. It's... you know, what we're born inside, what our brain knows, or our soul. And then what the kids were saying, you know, from my experience of being transgender, I know that I did the same thing that Jennifer said. You know, I was telling my parents, no, wait, that name doesn't work for me. I'm a boy. There's different times that kids might identify or be what a lot of people in the past said was a phase. But there's different developmental stages in which people learn more about themselves and where they fit in with the world. And that can be school age. It can be at 17 to 24 months. It can be during puberty. It can be as an adult.
So I might ask you a little bit later a little bit about the science that proves that this isn't a mental disorder. Yes. This is, in fact, you know, there's origins. The origins are being pointed to as being biological in origin now. So we'll talk about that later. I'm going to get back to the girls, ask a couple more questions here. So Jennifer and Avery, I'm going to ask you guys a couple more questions.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite song? Jennifer, do you have a favorite song? I think there's something. Does Change Your Life? Do you know what that is? Change Your Life?
What?
Yeah.
I know.
I think your mom was telling me something about this song, Change Your Life.
Yeah, that's not my favorite song.
It's not your favorite song? What's the story behind Change Your Life, Olivia?
Well, we were discussing the song with the lyrics, I'm Gonna Change Your Life, and it's something that gets repeated. I had it playing in the background while I was making dinner one evening, and Jennifer was sitting at the table coloring, and I didn't even think she was listening to what was going on, but all of a sudden she looked up, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, Mom, that's it. That's what's going on with me. I need to change my life. I got to change my life now. I can't do this anymore. I'm a girl on the inside. And she was so emphatic, like she'd been holding it in for a really long time, and it was kind of like that song was a catalyst for her to finally be able to tell me what she'd been showing us for a long time.
Very good. Avery, what about you? Do you have a favorite song?
Not really.
Do you like to dance?
Sort of.
Jennifer was telling me yesterday that she liked to dance.
I have been in some dance, like ballet, but I quit. But I want to join in again. talking about it.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I didn't get to dance when I was growing up. I wish I could dance. I don't know how to dance.
It's probably actually pretty fun.
The most uncoordinated person in this room, I'm sure. Let me ask you, Avery, have you ever had any... have you ever had any problems with other kids? I think you're homeschooled right now, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any problems with kids in the neighborhood or anybody? Has anybody ever been mean to you?
No, not really, because our homeschool community is really friendly, and if anyone ever is mean, they'll just sort it out easily.
Oh, very good.
Sorry.
Hard. And what about you, Jennifer? Has anybody ever been mean to you? I think there was a boy on the bus that talked to you one time. What did that boy on the bus say, and what did you tell him?
I don't think I said anything back.
Did the boy say something about God?
No, that was someone else.
No.
But still,
John, do you want to explain that one?
He said I was gay I'm not a boy. I'm a dick.
He said that?
Yeah.
What a mean thing to say.
And so I didn't say anything back.
There was another incident, wasn't there? There was a girl on the bus?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She said, God is mad at me because I am a girl, but I'm supposed to be a boy.
And what did you say?
I don't know.
I remember you came home from school and you told me the story. You told me that you said that you knew that God loved you.
I don't have that problem because I don't go on a school bus. I've gone on it a few times for, like, field trips and, like, just for, like, summer camp.
Uh-huh.
That's really it.
Uh-huh. And so right now Jennifer's still in public school, and Avery, right now you're being homeschooled right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we had problems before. We had a lot of problems.
Yeah. Before. And I'm gonna have your mom help you kind of describe what happened there. You know, why is it that you're homeschooled right now? Was there an incident that occurred, or what happened?
Yeah, at school, a lot of people were, I was just dressing like a girl and stuff. Like, I just started dressing like a girl, and everyone just didn't like it. They just were really mad for whatever reason. I don't really know.
Yeah. She was in preschool, and in her pre-K class, she was starting to assert herself a little bit more, and started with a girl pink sparkly shoes, and then it would progress to dressing in girl clothing, pink and everything from head to toe. And it was actually, the first time was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, so they worked in a great diversity program that day, and all the kids were really pretty understanding about it, that there's, you know, we all are different, and it's not really nice to judge or anything. So we had a really good week at daycare, but the following week, the kids came back and started saying, you know, come on, when are you going to stop this? When are you just going to start acting like a boy again? And that's when she told us, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to leave, and I'll give up all my friends. I would rather just be able to be a girl and not have any friends at all.
Oh, wow. That's very sad. I think while we're on this topic, I'm gonna ask Olivia to come over here. And there's something else that you were telling me with Jennifer that I think kind of while we're on this topic, because there's bullying and things like that is a real problem for children, right? Especially this age and as they get a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think some kids were being mean, there was, I think, an incident in the class possibly with Jennifer. But what happened with Jennifer? What did, you know, what happened with Jennifer and how did she respond to that?
Well, we used to tell her that she could be a boy that wore pink, that wore nail polish, that had long hair, because these were all things she was expressing that she needed. And she would often ask me emphatically to paint her nails when I was painting my nails, and I would say, I'm happy to, and that's fine, and it's great, you know, if you want, because she's always loved color.
So I thought that's what that was about. And I would be like, that's fine. But just so you know, when you go to daycare, people might point, they might laugh or say something silly like, oh, boys can't have nail polish on. And you just have to be ready to deal with that and maybe have an answer for them. Like, my mom says it's okay. And so I thought that that would maybe help prepare her to be the unique child that she is and have the answers for people that she might need to have. But actually what it ended up doing was making her feel really scared and like everywhere she went, if she was herself, she would be made fun of. So, and that didn't come up for a couple of years. She ended up being seen by therapists, treated for depression, anxiety. We thought that it was because her dad and I had divorced and she was going through issues dealing with that. But through the treatment, she wasn't getting better. She was getting worse until she ended up being hospitalized for suicidal ideation. And it took another month after she left the hospital for it to come out on that day when she said she wouldn't change her life. She said that she's always known she was a girl, but she had been scared to be herself because we had said people would make fun of her. And she thought she didn't want to be in this world anymore if she had to live a life where people would make fun of her every day.
That is so sad. That's the impact of bullying. That's why there are so many people speaking up and speaking out and being active on trying to get, anti-bullying is a real problem. We need to get the parents, we need to get the civic leaders, we need to get the religious leaders, we need to get everybody on board with acceptance and tolerance, because children are not grown to be bullies. Children aren't born naturally to be bullies. Children learn to be bullies because the adults around them teach them that way. And the end result of the bullying is children killing themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem. And so, anyway, thank you for sharing that story with us. I think it was really important. I'm going to ask Ralph to come over here for just a second. So Ralph is the biological father of Jennifer. And Ralph, my understanding is that you were, that Jennifer came out to you at a later stage than what she had come out to her mom. So her mom was already farther down the track of learning. And so you're kind of playing catch-up right now, but can you tell us a little bit about how you felt when Jennifer came out to you?
It was definitely a big change. It was hard to kind of grasp everything as it was coming because her mother was so much further along than I was. It was really hard for me to kind of dial in what was real, what wasn't real. And I always want my child to be happy. It was just definitely confusing at first. No parent wants to be a bad parent, but no parent comes with a book to learn how to deal with all of it.
Right, absolutely. I think we're going to come back and stay on that topic in a minute. I'm going to want to talk to you, and I'm going to want to talk to Tom, too. Listeners, I want you to hang on for a minute. We're going to go ahead and put a song up, and we'll be right back in a few minutes. So be sure you stay tuned here to Trans Talk on KKFI. And we're back here at KKFI interviewing Jennifer and Avery and their families. So kids are getting a little bit antsy. I'm going to ask them another question, give them an opportunity to say goodbye, and then we're going to continue on with the adults having the discussion here. So real quick, I'm going to ask you first, Jennifer. Jennifer, this is a question for you. If you were asked to give advice to the parent of another trans child, what advice would you give them? Or Avery, would you have any advice if you had a parent of another child who, you know, thought they were trans? What advice would you give to those parents?
Well, first of all, I would say, I'm not really sure. It's really hard to say.
What if you were going to give advice to a teacher or a principal or another child? What if you were giving advice to a child on the playground about how he treats other people that might be trans? Would you have any advice for him?
I would have to think about it for a little bit, but right now, I can't really think.
Jennifer, do you have anything?
Yes.
Go ahead. What advice?
I treat trans kids. Go
ahead. Yeah, what would
How
you tell?
How should people treat trans kids? And they should treat them the right way. And everyone should.
Everybody should treat everybody the right way, and they should certainly treat trans kids the right way.
People should treat others.
Yeah, because
people
are getting mixed up with trans people and other people.
Like really others are treating you. Like
that's right.
Like it. Like think about the others as all you, and how would you want to treat you?
Right. Very good. All right, we're gonna switch it out here in the room for just a second, and then the adults are gonna come back and talk to us. So, real quick, I want Tom, if you could come up here, I'm gonna talk to you. And if somebody wants to take the kids out to the green room where they can stretch their legs a little bit, that would be great. Jennifer and Avery, thank you very much for talking to me. Tom, I'm going to ask you a question real quick. We live in a society, a patriarchy, really. It's really centered around male structure, male power structures in every aspect of our culture. And I think that's got to be the most difficult thing for fathers when their son come out as being a girl. And our culture isn't really prepared. Our culture just doesn't understand the science, the body of science out there now that is showing us what's going on. How did you react when you were told? Did you understand what was going on right away, or did you have any difficulty with it?
I think just like Ralph said, I think just as any parent, you know, it's a shock at first just because it's something that you're unaware of. You're not sure if it's just a phase that your child's going through or if this is something a little more than that. I think in my case, I've often felt like we've had it pretty easy just because, you know, we got to see a progression of things over time that really, when she came out to my wife and then to me, it then became very obvious. It wasn't something that was kind of thrown in our face. We saw the behaviors over time.
Right, right.
So I think it can be very challenging, especially for men, but at the same time, I think, at least with my situation, you know, as parents, we're really just put on earth to love our kids, and that's kind of what I tried to do.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, Ralph, we were talking to you a little bit earlier that you know, you were a little bit behind the curve compared to Olivia when Jennifer came out to you, and you were kind of struggling with that. What do you think about now? What's your greatest concern as it relates to all of this?
I guess my greatest concern is the long-term effect. Right now, with a developing mind, with a developing infrastructure of becoming, growing up and becoming an adult, making such big decisions, I think that's in my heart is my biggest fear. But I've grown to understand her passions a little more and kind of accept and the way things are going, but it was a real loss of a dream of having a son. I started growing up as my child started developing, as I'm going to have a son, and you have these natural dreams, natural aspirations for your kids, because you just want to be a father and experience all these things as they're coming, so you look forward out into the road, and my road took a big fork, and so I'm now growing to realize the new aspects of the new joys I'm having with my little girl.
Good for you. I think the grief process is very common. People don't understand this transition process when you come out, whether it's a child coming out to a parent or whether it's a sister coming out to a brother or a child coming out or a parent coming out to a child. And there's a period of grief that you go through because you feel like you're losing that son or that daughter or that father or that sister or that brother. And you're really not the same person there, but in fact you're gaining a daughter or you're gaining a son or something like that. And but I think it's a process that everybody has to go through. Sean, when you John, I'm sorry, when you found out about it, what was your thoughts when you heard about Jennifer? And did Jennifer tell you directly, or did Olivia bring it up to you?
Olivia had brought it up to me. And as she said earlier, this followed a month after she had a hospitalization. So we were much more sensitive and receptive to the needs she was expressing and the thoughts that she was having. the kids, they both have a great like emotional language and emotional intelligence as far as like expressing themselves and what they're feeling and what they need. But like I said, we were very sensitive to it directly following the hospitalization. So when Olivia told me that Jennifer had expressed this to her, and you know, I had understood Jennifer's backstory as far as like Olivia had said, her being a boy that did girl things and had girl interests, it wasn't much of a shock at all. And knowing, I mean, even then, we knew about the high suicide rates among the trans community. So my immediate concern was, well, what's going to keep her safest and happiest, and how can we support that?
Very good. Very good. I'm going to ask Una and Scott to join us up here for just a second. And Scott, we just talked about the suicide rate. John just mentioned, you know, that there's a high suicide rate. And so I'd kind of like you and Una to discuss that a minute. And Una, you've been patiently listening into everything that's going on. I'd like to know if you have any questions for the parents or for Scott at this point. Scott, suicide rate is very high. And we were talking earlier about, you know, kids, the pressure they're under when bullying is such an issue in school, in their neighborhood. And then we live in a culture where it's a 24-hour bully capability, because as kids get older, they're online, they have online IDs, and it's not just when you're bullied at school. Now you can't even escape it. And so obviously self-harm is a big issue in the community, not because they're mentally depressed to begin with. They end up being mentally depressed because of the treatment, I think. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, as anyone's been through puberty or feeling, growing up, you want to belong. You want to stay with your loved ones. You want them to appreciate you for who you are. And there's a lot of fear that makes trans kids feel that they're not living up to what's expected of them. And so they don't want to disappoint the parents, but they really are yelling inside that this is not me. You know, you don't understand. And when the whole society, when you're 2 years old, 6 years old, whatever, and society's telling you every day that you don't deserve to be who you are, that you are a freak or you are whatever, then what's anybody going to do? What would you do?
Right, right. Kids want to be loved. They don't want to be humiliated.
Right.
Scott, a common criticism used to deny transgender children their identity is that the children are too young to make these decisions, and that overbearing psychologists with an agenda of some sort are trying to force them into a, quote, transgender lifestyle, unquote. What is your response to that?
You can't change somebody's gender. The gender identity is what they know to be true about themselves, and nobody can put that on you and tell you what you are.
At what age is a child typically able to make that sort of or decision or have that awareness of what their gender truly is?
It differs with various individuals because of the situation that they're in and what their temperament is and how it interacts with the world. But generally, a child comes out within 17 to 24 months of knowing innately who they are. And they try to tell us forever.
Some parents fear that transgender children are, to quote from one father I heard from on Facebook, that they're being placed on the fast train to sex changes with Satan as the engineer, unquote. Can you describe the actual process which the younger transgender children actually go through?
Well, the thing is, it's changed. What we went through, can't speak to everybody that's transgender, but it was that I did not have a place that was safe for me to be who I was. And so I had to choose whether I was going to survive or whether I was not. And now, luckily, I mean, for me personally, not being told to wear a shirt in the summer when all of my cousins and brother were going bare, going shirtless, or going through the puberty talk at school and being told to, you know, boys line up to go to the gym, girls line up to go wherever, and being told in front of everybody and laughed at that you're in the wrong line. You know, those are the things that are difficult. And so it really depends. You can't change it. It's innate.
But I mean in terms of the actual process that a transgender child goes through. Some parents have this impression that they are put on hormones immediately headed off to a clinic in Thailand before they're eight.
No. Luckily, we have the hormones now. We know what we're doing more with it now. And they can block puberty. And there's a lot of people that are worried about the science of that, thinking that we're drugging the kids or pushing, you know, things on them. But actually what we're doing with puberty blockers is restricting puberty. We're giving the kids more chance to grow up non-defined and find out who they are in that respect. Because we're delaying the sex hormones, we're delaying that attraction factor, sexual orientation, and we're giving them an opportunity to settle in, just like any heterosexual person settles in to who they are.
And I think one of the important things, you know, we should just clarify with the blockers, the great thing about the blockers is it's delaying puberty, it's delaying those secondary sex characteristics.
Right.
So those of us sitting at the table right now are older, and we didn't have the capability to do blockers when we were earlier, when we were younger. We didn't have the internet, so the information that's available to parents and school districts and everybody wasn't available then, but it is now. So we didn't have that opportunity, you know, to delay things. And so people that are older have to go through just a terrifying array of surgeries that are very expensive to try to make themselves look a little bit better, to be able to be happy with themselves in the mirror. And I think that's the important thing with these blockers is, number one, it's reversible. It's not hurting the child. You stop it. If they've decided that they do want to continue with their biological gender, you stop the blockers. And puberty continues. Normal puberty continues. So, you know, I think that's really important that people need to understand. So you bought them time. So if they start the blockers at, what, between 10 and 12 years old, depending on male or female.
Right.
And then by the time they're at about 16, then normally their brain is developed enough where they can make a more informed decision. Mm-hmm. And you can be certain that that's a path for them. And then they can, if you either stop the blockers and normal puberty continues, or you start them on hormone replacement therapy, and they grow up with the right set of secondary characteristics to live their life. And I think it's about a quality of life.
Don't require surgery of that.
Yeah.
To that extent.
Yeah. I think this discussion is really important because, Una, I know you're aware. I think you saw a video that Debbie posted, and you know, I'd like Debbie to share some information here in a second with us about this friend of hers that, you know, we're not going to talk about them specifically, no names, nothing like that, but it is a problem that people don't know about because of, I don't want to call it anti-intellectualism, but, you know, there's a set of people that absolutely don't want to learn what science has to say. They're kind of stuck in an ideology that ignores what we know now from both a social and medical science perspective. And like you were saying earlier, Una, you know, they're making these claims that the kids are going through a sex change at 10 years old. And so you have fathers and you have attorneys and you have people out there of that mindset that are fighting this really hard. And, you know, the end results are our children are being taken away from their parents. You know, things are happening to parents. So, Debbie, tell us a little bit about that. I know this is something that has come up for you very recently, and you're passionate about it. So tell the listeners a little.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the fears that we have as parents and one of the reasons so many people are afraid to speak up is because we are accused of child abuse just for supporting our kids in changing clothes and growing out hair and or getting a haircut. But then every once in a while you do have where the accusations go further. And in my friend's case, there are accusations that she's trying to give her child a sex change. And all they are trying to do is get hormone blockers. Her son has entered T Tanner stage two.
To buy him time, right?
To buy him time. And the argument is that what if he changes his mind? What if he really isn't a boy? What if she would be happy with another year or two of time to think? So therefore, we should not allow this child to have a sex change. Well, that's great. Everyone's in agreement then. Let's have some time. But how can we safely do that? We do that with hormone blockers. Because otherwise, like you said, you develop the secondary sex characteristics, which is going to lead to a surgery later. If the breasts develop, he is going to want to have them removed. He's already said that he would not want them and he would want to have them removed. So therefore, you're causing a surgery by not allowing hormone blockers. So it really is ironic. And again, with the suicide rates and the threats of self-harm, when the risk to a child is that they're not supported by their parents, so that puts their risk of suicide around 70%, I think, according to the last survey. But kids who are supported, that risk drops to around 4%. So to be a parent, trying to be responsible, lower your child's suicide risk from 70% to 4% actually makes you the bad parent. I mean, it blows your mind that doing something to protect your child's health can actually have your child end up getting taken away from you.
Absolutely. That's such a shame.
Debbie and Scott, suppose that you are the parent of a child who has informed you that they may be transgender or they feel like they are the wrong gender or in the wrong body, or suppose you are a child who feels this way. Can you recommend some resources that either of them could go to in this area to find out more and to take the first steps towards trying to really understand who they are and what they are and how they can get some help?
Yes, one of the things I would recommend is that you go to the library or go online to Amazon.com and get The Transgender Child. It's a handbook for families and professionals written by Stephanie Brill and Rachel Pepper with a foreword by Dr. Norman Spack. That book will take you through what the stages are to identify what life's going to be like for the child.
And then as a parent, and now the PFLAG president here in Kansas City, I would recommend trying to get your family members to go to PFLAG. The whole point of the organization is to support, to educate. We have amazing resources that explain how to be an ally to a trans person and to the community. So that's why we're here. We offer that support and the education.
PFLAG is such a wonderful organization. I'd like to have Ralph and Tom up here with us real quick again, if you guys wouldn't mind. I want to get one more feedback from the dads. As you guys have been listening to all of this, but more importantly, as you've been dealing with it internally with your own children, I'm always hopeful that there are listeners out there who are listening that aren't familiar with the topic that we're talking about, because I don't want to just be preaching to the choir. The importance of this show is the fact that we can educate other people, get our voices out there and tell our stories in our own voices, not somebody else telling them. And you've been there, done that. You're a father, as we mentioned earlier, in a very paternalistic, very male-dominated, male power structure culture that we're in. And it's difficult out there. And I'd like to hear from each of you personally, what advice would you give to other fathers that may be dealing with this? Ralph, you're coming around to it right now. You're worried about the safety of your daughter. You're kind of worried about what's going to happen when you get to that point where you have to worry about intervention like blockers and things like that. But nevertheless, you're learning a lot more. And, as someone who hasn't known about it very long, what advice would you have to another father who is suddenly given this news? What advice would you give him?
Just like any other dream they have, whether it's being an astronaut or being a ninja, I'm coming to realize I've never stopped them from saying this is what they want to do. Eventually, they will pick a career. Eventually, they will pick their own decisions in life. And this is very similar in the sense of my child knows what they want or what they're going to be and turn into. And I just have to embrace it in either direction. That's what I'm coming to learn.
Very good. Tom, what do you say?
I would say mostly just listen to your children. I think transgender, especially...
That's so important. Children, I'm sorry. Listen to your children. Four words. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I think a lot of people assume that this is something as if it's a choice. This is a biological hardware issue. No different than, slightly different scenario, but if a kid has diabetes or a cleft palate, it's no different. It's biological. And so I think a lot of times the parents tend to think differently about this when their kids come to them because they're so fearful of what other people are going to think of them.
Exactly.
How is society going to view me as a father who lets my son become my daughter? And I think that is a definite struggle, and I can understand that to some degree, but I also think that a parent's job is really just to love their children no matter what, be unconditionally. And so I've never looked at this as anything more than a blessing, just because I've been able to be, especially for my family, we have the unique opportunity to really understand what unconditional love is. And so I think more than anything, just listen to your kids.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for articulating that so well. And I want to thank everybody for coming into the studio today. Both the kids and the parents, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Scott Fika, for being here. We've got to turn over to the community calendar, and then Una's going to close out the show for us. So thank you, everybody, for coming in.
Yes, thank you. This is Una Nowlin for the community calendar. The UMKC LGBTQIA Trans and Allies meeting will be held Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. at UMKC Student Union in room 302. They will be providing pizza, which I've had and is quite yummy. And for this meeting, they will have a roundtable to discuss transition experiences. Melinda Ryder's birthday bingo bash will be held at Hamburger Mary's at 5 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th at 3700 Broadway Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. We have several announcements regarding Like Me Lighthouse. This Sunday, March 1st, the lighthouse will be closed due to anticipated inclement weather. Next, at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, March 11th, the No Hate Worldwide Movement is celebrating its third anniversary at the lighthouse, featuring an open photo shoot. The Equal Transgender Queer Support Group will meet at 5 p.m. on Thursday, March 19th, also at the lighthouse. And on Saturday, March 28th, Jory Costello of the band Big Bad Gina will be giving a concert at Like Me Lighthouse, and that starts at 7 p.m. In case you don't know, Like Me Lighthouse is just a short hop from this studio here at 3909 Main Street, Kansas City. The Kansas City SOFA Group for Significant Others, Friends, Family, and Allies of Transgender Persons, run by my wife, Fiona Nowling, will have two meetings this month. On Wednesday, March 4th, they will meet at 6:30 p.m. at the Corinth Library, Study Room 1, at 8100 Mission Road, Prairie Village. And on Wednesday, March 18th, they will meet at 6:30 at the Leawood Pioneer Library, Study Room 115, at 4700 Town Center Drive in Leawood. And then we have news from PFLAG, which is Parents, Families, Friends, and Allies of Transgender People, and led by Debbie, who you just heard today on our program. And this will meet on the second Sunday of the month at 3 p.m. at the Village Presbyterian Church in Prairie Village, and on the fourth Sunday of the month at 3 p.m. at the Like Me Lighthouse. On March 28th and 29th, the Heartland Men's Chorus will be performing Modern Families at the Folly Theater downtown. And finally, keep an eye out for the premiere of the new Discovery Life Channel series, New Girls on the Block, which is featuring four Kansas City transgender couples and their daily lives and trials that they've gone through as they all go through their transition process here in our very own Kansas City. The series begins on April 2nd, so be sure and mark your calendars. And that's the community calendar for February 2015. And to all my transgender sisters and brothers out there, be exceedingly good to yourselves.
Again, it was very interesting.
Show, wasn't it, Una?
Yes, I learned a lot myself.
I was wondering how long the kids would be able to keep it together in here. I didn't think an hour was feasible, but I think we got a good almost a half hour out of them, so that was
pretty
good.
Oh, they were fine.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you again. You want to close this out, Una?
Yes, I will. Thank you all for tuning in to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The Tenth Voice. Many thanks to our special guests, Jasmine and her parents, Olivia, Sean, and Ralph, as well as Avery and her parents, Debbie and Tom. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Luke Harness, and, of course, Sandra Mead, as well as our sound engineer and producer, Linda Wilson. You can always send an email to us with your thoughts and suggestions to the10thvoice@gmail.com. And next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings, and then Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
State law does not offer protections based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
Do you think you're rushing into this after 30 years? No, we're not rushing into it.
I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to.
You're worth more than who you attract. Your self-worth is not contingent upon someone else's attraction to you. You have to find that within yourself first.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Finland's same-gender couples will have to wait 2 more years for marriage equality. A lone lesbian couple ties the knot in the Lone Star.